Welcome to the Lux Core Podcast, the ultimate hangout spot for all things Pilates. Whether you're a newbie, a seasoned pro, or even a Pilates instructor yourself, get ready to dive into the world of Pilates every week. We'll be interviewing industry professionals, from instructors and studio owners to educators and equipment designers, sharing their wisdom, sparking new conversations about hot topics, and hearing from some of your favorites in the field. So, if you're all about movement, wellness, and hearing expert tips on all things Pilates, then grab a comfy spot and let's get started. For this week's episode, we take a slight detour from our usual in-depth discussion around Pilates and instead decided to explore something called BARR. For those who might not have heard of it, this is spelt B-A-R-R-E. It combines both ballet and Pilates as its inspiration, and this workout trend is rapidly gaining popularity in various cities across the UK. For this episode, we headed to Glasgow to chat with former dancer and a very good friend of mine, Katie Anderson. We uncover what drew her into this innovative style, what her career transition looked like, and the story behind launching Glasgow's first BARR studio, Body BARR. I love this conversation because Katie is really open about the challenges she faced in her career and how she transitioned through them. She gives valuable advice, and I truly believe this discussion will inspire so many to pursue their dreams. Enjoy listening. So welcome to the Lux Core Collection podcast, Katie.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We'll go into our quickfire round. So first of all, tea or coffee?
Coffee, always.
Mm-hmm. Pilates or BARR? Ugh,
BARR.
Obviously. Silly question. Privates or classes?
Oh my God, if I say classes, all my privates are going to hate me. No, I'll say classes.
Yeah. They know that you love a crowd.
I do. I love you privates. I love you all. But there's something about the energy of a class is fun. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is good fun. Yeah,
absolutely. Ankle weights or small balls?
Ooh.
It's a good question, right?
Actually, ankle weights, because I think people, they don't realize how much that 1 kilogram is until they've got it on for like 20 minutes and they feel it. So I think it's good because it's a really sneaky one. Oh, so yeah, ankle weights.
Bare feet or grip soft?
Oh, another tricky one. I think for some people that struggle with, you know, getting on demi point or stuff we do on the ball as well. Mm. And grip socks, definitely 1000%. If you're just not used to being barefoot, I think from ex-dancers, yes, we love barefoot. Yeah. We're just like barefoot kind of people. Mm-hmm. But for, like in class settings and stuff, I will always say the grip socks. Mm-hmm. They do make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And your favorite athleisure brand right now?
Oh, dang.
If I gave you a voucher for anything right now, who would it be?
Oh, probably Lululemon still, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the classic. Mm-hmm. It is just
super high quality.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They set the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, and,
no pun intended.
That was so unintentional. Favorite wellness tip?
Listen to your body.
Mm.
Always. Always listen to your body.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. Really simple, but really true.
Because we are so in tune with ourselves, and sometimes we forget that we always look for people to tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask me all the time, tell me what to do, what to do. Mm. And I'm like, well, how do you feel? And that's when you get into it, and then you realize they need to either do X, Y, Z moving forward. But it's how you feel. So, yeah.
And that's what makes it so individual, right, as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, for those who don't know, Katie and me have been very good friends for a very long time.
Very long time.
And I'm so glad that I can come here and do this with you.
I know, stop it. I actually said to myself, don't cry.
You can cry if you like.
It's the wrong kind of podcast. You can do that another time.
It's episode 2.
Yeah.
We'll try and not laugh too much through that.
I know. God, yeah.
We'll go off on tangents. But we met a very long time ago. We won't go into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're now at your first ever studio. Body Bar.
Yes.
In Scotland.
Yes.
Specifically Glasgow.
Glasgow.
And I guess let's go back to the beginning. The before you became an instructor, before fitness was part of your life, mm-hmm. where were you? What were you doing? And mm-hmm. what's the history behind you?
It is, yeah. How many podcasts can we fit in? We're going to be here for 5 podcasts? No, I'm kidding. Well, I've always been a mover, a lover of movement, of dance and all that. Before dance, it was actually competitive figure skating that brought me into...
Always forget this.
I know. Yeah. I was a competitive figure skater, and it was actually in Glasgow. It was here in East Kilbride. I did actually start in America, to be fair, when I was younger in Florida. We came back here and continued it, but it was intense and a lot of time and training. So then I then fell into the dance world. Mm-hmm. It was just a little bit more accessible. Being a teenager, I could still go to stuff that was more local rather than traveling every weekend mm-hmm. to competitions and whatnot. So yeah, I always, always, always did dance and loved dance. And then I decided at 18 I was going to move back to Florida and pursue it more professionally, educationally, and I went to the University of South Florida and studied dance out there, which was a very cool experience.
For such a young age to go and
go
from such an extreme Glasgow
in Livingston,
all the way to South Florida.
So I had lived out there when I was younger for about 3-4 years. We continued to go back all the time. We had a house out there, so it was still very much home, I guess. So it did still feel familiar, and but it still, when I look back at it, I'm like, wow, I was a brave 18-year-old.
Hugely.
Sometimes I try to channel that 18-year-old Katie.
They're fearless.
Yeah, fearless. Yeah. Let's do it. Who cares? Come on, let's mm-hmm. go. So studied dance out there, and I wanted to be more of a contemporary modern dancer, but we did still have a lot of ballet training, and I actually hadn't done that intense ballet training ever. I wasn't a natural ballerina. I got the big hips and the big shoulders, and I didn't look like,
especially back then. Teeny petite
skin and bone. And I was always more athletic looking.
Kind of what your basis was built on from being a figure skater. There's a huge amount of strength and athleticism that comes with that, as opposed to ballet.
I was opened up to the world of ballet in a more intense form, and how you then moved into professional ballet from there. There was a lot of girls that did go into that world, but I ended up actually just loving it. I loved the training and the feeling I got from it, and being at the bar, mm-hmm. And everything I learned from it, and I became so strong from it, and I think that always stuck with me. And then from there, I moved on to working in theme parks. I worked in theme parks in Florida. And then after university, moved to London, which brings to how I met you as well on this lovely journey called life. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of interesting jobs.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
interesting, and always great stories to tell people. Mm-hmm. I think we can relate to when people start to get to know you and you tell them all the things you've done, and they go, "What?"
Mm-hmm. Yes, people ask me where I met my husband, and I'm like, "Oh yeah." For those who are listening who maybe don't know our background, it's a lot of performing jobs.
Yes.
For some big companies, and the jobs were very versatile.
Yeah.
Very broad spectrum. It was, but it's interesting how we all kind of met and things.
Yeah.
Met some of the people that we meet.
We've met some of our best friends.
Yeah. Husbands,
lifelong. Everything. Yeah. So, it was great. But with London, you kind of had a couple of choices in London. You had to give up money, mm-hmm. Social life, even partners, mm-hmm. If you did want to go that extra mile and really go for it.
Yeah.
And I think because I had already lived abroad for however many years, mm-hmm. I realized as I was getting into it and going to all these auditions and, you know, like, do I want to go on cruise ships? Do I want to do this?
Yeah,
like,
the options that
I then started to realize, well, maybe I didn't. Maybe I just wanted to really enjoy London. And I think some of those jobs that we did were more short contracts, 3 to 6 mm-hmm. months, and we were moving from thing to thing, and it was kind of the constant buzz of it. But at least it was still in London.
Mm-hmm.
But so then kind of with the dance world, I think my last show, which was with one of my wonderful friends, Harriet, we danced at the Royal Albert Hall together, which was such a cool experience. And thank you, Harriet, for helping me get in on that job as well. That was back in, I want to say 2018 was my last performance.
They were amazing.
That was amazing. Mm. It was just so cool. So cool. Whenever, you know, we see on the news and everything's happening, I'm like, oh, Royal Albert Hall, hello.
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. But eventually I knew I did want a little bit more security, but mm-hmm. still was something that I thoroughly enjoyed and had passion for. Mm-hmm.
It's a vulnerable industry to be in the dance world because you're constantly judged mm-hmm. because it's auditions and mm-hmm. that's how the world goes.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you have to put your all into auditions that you're like, I don't even know if I want it, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
Yes.
And it could take me anywhere and the opportunities are great, but they're short-lived.
Yes.
Because they are 6 months, a year, if that. And you do kind of get to that age where you're like, okay, I really need to decide what I want out of the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And for me, I always felt like the decision led heavily by the fact that I wanted to be in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt as a mm-hmm. dancer, you're not really in control of it.
No.
You just hope you get the audition and you hope mm-hmm. that it pays mm-hmm. off and that you love the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily feel like you're in control of your own life.
1,000%. 1,000%. And even with the way London is with, you know, you're a renter and you don't know how long you're going to be able to be in that space for. Is the rent going to go up mm-hmm. next year? Is, you know, there were so many variables that could really change how your
massively.
Next 12 months would look like. You had to have a wee kind of chat with yourself and go, oh, right, where are we going? What's going on here? I started working for Sweaty Betty, which was wonderful. I think everyone that joined Sweaty Betty, and I'll chat about even some of her instructors here with Sweaty Betty as well, but Sweaty Betty, I think the people that work for Sweaty Betty were also like-minded, and we've all got similar backgrounds and same paths, and
so true.
You got to meet so many wonderful people and people that would encourage you, and you know, some of them were actors, dancers, singers, mm-hmm. some were still in studies, some were in a transitional phase like I was, and I know yourself as well, and everyone would support each other, and it was actually a really nice place to be at that wee point where we needed to kind of go.
Yeah, I remember your induction day with them.
Yes.
You messaged me and you came out and you were like, Tash, you need to come here.
Yes.
You need to work with these guys as well, because you had the most inspiring induction day that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
We got, you obviously get invited to their head office. They do, I think they did like a yoga class or a bar class to start the training seminar. Then they go through what their sort of values are, everything like that. But the induction day itself, you just walked out so inspired and like you'd found your people. And I remember you being like, you need to come here.
Yeah.
And then I did.
Yeah, then you did.
So thank you.
Yeah, I did. I got a feeling. I was like, this is kind of what we're needing right now. And I knew it was never forever. I just knew it was just a wee point of, oh, okay, like this is kind of a wee stepping stone getting me in there. And let me kind of
sort my headspace out. You're in the same environment. You know, it's athleisure wear.
Mm-hmm.
They were in very close contact with local studios who mm-hmm. would... Boutique was very new then as well, mm-hmm. when we were just mm-hmm. there. I can't even think what year this was.
It was great. But they had, because obviously I was at the King's Road store, and they would, they had a budget per month to allow the staff to go, and we were allowed to go take classes.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And, you know, they had their ambassadors coming in and out, and you were just exposed then to that I was then exposed to how much of that world there was, because as a dancer, we were either just in the gym or taking dance class.
Yeah.
I hadn't really ventured into, which I should have done and I wished I had done, taking Pilates class and taking yoga class. It was very much just like gym run dance class.
Yeah, that was it. That was your options.
And I was then exposed to, oh, wow, there's all these amazing studios and a lot of instructors that have similar backgrounds.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice kind of place to be to then go, oh, this is actually what I really want to do. And that's when I started to move into bar, because it just felt so natural.
Yeah, it's like a very similar environment.
Yeah.
Really similar, but without the sort of, not the toxic, what's the right word?
A little bit of toxic.
Oh, yeah. The environment of the dance world isn't necessarily as inclusive, and there's not as much diversity there. So that was such a nice space to be in. It was about well-being and health and fitness, and it wasn't about you need to nail this audition.
Yeah,
it was a different feeling when you got to the bar. It was about you.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the career you were in.
There was a freedom in class. You were still at the bar. You're still doing your ballet moves that your body recognized. But you were moving to fun music. You were getting that endorphin high of finishing off your eight pulses.
Yeah.
And you were like, whoa, and you would come in. You would leave class so elated. Kind of like how we would feel after dance classes. You'd had that same buzz. And I was like, this is what I've been
needing. I always found I really enjoyed the training during the maybe the months where I wasn't really auditioning. I was like, I'm just going to go for me, and I'm going to go to just keep getting better.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the upcoming auditions or what contract you were in or remembering a certain choreography or whatever it was. It was just being there for you and your body and your mind. Like, so you come out feeling like on top of the world.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's when I went into my training with PBB, which was wonderful, because I then also met some wonderful friends that I'm still best friends with today. And it was a great time. I loved every second of it, moving from that into then, okay, now I'm in the fitness industry. It was like, oh, here I am now. And it felt like it was just the missing puzzle piece that I had been kind of looking for, coming out of that, oh, I'm not going to be a performer anymore. What the hell am I going to do? Yeah. You felt so lost. And you also felt a bit sad. You were like grieving.
Yeah.
You know, that little girl that was like, I'm going to be a famous dancer one
I'm
day or something.
On stage one
yeah.
Day.
You had to really grieve all those feelings. So to find something that you love just as much was, I was like, oh, thank God. This
and you
is
can
great.
Really throw the same energy, passion into the same. Into that environment, into that career, and that, that career path. I think that's, and that's why most of the time you'll see creatives, ex-dancers, and you know, quite artistic people in these careers in this industry, because we're filling, we're usually filling something that was before, and so not filling. And actually, I feel like we probably thrived as a result of it.
I've thrived so much more. I feel so much more confident and more sure of myself. Whereas
massively
the performing industry was great but low. You had massive highs, massive
brutal
lows.
At times.
So it was nice to just,
and you suddenly then felt in control of your schedule, your life, your how much income you wanted to do versus how much you were willing to put into it, how many hours you were willing to work in. And that's a journey in itself, which we'll get into in a bit anyway, just to figure out your schedule and how much you can do this and how many hours you can do it a week as well. Because that's a whole other thing. But so you had trained with PBB, you were living in London, and you had then become a full freelancer.
Yes. I then decided to leave SB, and then I was freelancing. That was scary.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what did the first year of freelancing look like? Because it took me a lot longer to get to that feeling like I could.
I was saying yes to everything. I was at here, there, and every studio that would take me in. Did start to turn a little bit into that feeling of the performance world, because you were auditioning to get into studios and stuff, which I still do. I agree with, I get it, like, and I still use that method because it does you do see who's going to be strong enough for that studio. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But it, sometimes it was like, whoa, okay, this is starting to become intense again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad my first year and a bit was at however many studios and places that I could teach, because I learned a lot. Mm. I learned a lot from each studio that would do their in-house training. Each studio you went to would have, you know, a head trainer or someone that would run workshops now and again, just to bring everyone in. So that I felt like I was in a constant state of learning, mm-hmm. and learning each studio's styles or how they plan their classes.
Yeah.
Planning a class, mm. like, is...
Would you say that this experience, that experience of being so in-depth, not in-depth, but so involved with so many different studios, different mm. environments, different ways of managing a studio or a class or a class plan or instructors, that is the best way to go in as a new person, because you expose yourself to so much and decide what you like?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's good to expose yourself to all of that, and then you go, oh, that doesn't sit right with me, or that mm. doesn't feel good, or when I teach I'm way too exhausted if I teach like that all the time,
mm, yeah.
or that's not enough energy, everyone's bored, and you, it's like, yeah. what do you mm-hmm. like, what do you want to give out to people,
mm-hmm.
what do you also want to feel like in return, because it is such an energetic job, you mm. also have to feel good at the end of it.
Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah, if you've got the energy to spread your wings a little bit, do it for 6 months to a year, and then you mm-hmm. then you pull back, and then you can start to say no to things and yeah. start to rein in. Some people don't like teaching in the morning. It's absolutely fine. Then yeah. you can start to rein that in and say, no, I'm only going to be an evening teacher, and,
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. But initially, you've got to give it a go. Mm-hmm. You've got to just kind of go for gold.
It's just experience, isn't it? Yeah. Figuring out.
Yeah.
Where do you sit?
Yeah.
So for those people who are listening, who, and obviously this is generally Pilates conversations yeah. usually, and we're tangenting off into something called bar.
Yes.
If someone who's listening has experienced Pilates but hasn't experienced bar, can you explain it in like a relatively brief summary in some way? Like if you were someone walking into a class, what are they going to expect from coming in?
It's generally a low impact exercise which does involve more standing compared to your mat Pilates,
mm-hmm.
But with the assistance of the bar,
mm-hmm.
which gives us freedom. I don't know if people would call it freedom. Gives us the space to, you know, work into single leg work for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So it's, you're going to feel a burn, and that's yeah. that kind of, when they say the bar burn, mm-hmm. until you've been to class, like, the bar burn is a thing.
Oh yeah.
And so you're going to feel, you're going to experience with the music, you're moving with the music. It's not always like a dancey choreography, mm-hmm. but it's a bit more punchy. It's a bit more to the rhythm, to the beat.
Yeah. That's something I've yeah. really missed from Pilates, I think. It's yeah. because we don't really concentrate on the music that's behind it. Yes. You might find that it's in a class and things, and but I think then you come to bar and you're like, oh, this is so much fun because I yeah. can move with the beat of the music. That's yeah. really encouraging as well.
Yeah.
Especially when you are feeling that bar burn, which is yeah. brutal.
It's so brutal.
So brutal.
And it's so sneaky.
So sneaky. And you think eight pulses isn't much?
No, no.
By the time you're in the third, fourth, I'm crumbling over here. And you think, like, as an instructor, you're like, I'm strong, I can get through this. Nah.
I demonstrate with the class all mm-hmm. the time. I'm like, we're going to do this today. And I'm already shaking by, like, the third rep. And I'm like, good luck.
Yeah.
But... that, and just in kind of like, yeah, trying to explain it from Pilates sense. And I still say to people, no, go, still do Pilates, still do Pilates mixed with mm-hmm. your bar.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, is bar just Pilates? I'm like, no, it is different. You're going to recognize movements.
Yes.
That's why we say it's inspired by.
Yeah.
It's inspired by ballet, inspired by Pilates, and then even inspired mm-hmm. by yoga. You're going to know, and just general fitness,
yeah.
your squats, your, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. You're going to yeah. recognize stuff that you've seen or felt or done before,
mm-hmm.
And it's fun.
It's really it's really fun. And I think that is what you especially when you come in here as well, and I'm biased because it's you, but it is just so much fun because you've got that energizing music beat, you're full of life and energy, and the room is just filled with that, and because it's sometimes a little bit more than what you experience in a Pilates or a a form of Pilates experience is usually 6 to 8 reformers, sometimes even smaller.
Yes.
So there isn't that same energy that you do when you come into a class like this where there's 16 people killing it.
Yeah.
Having that full on fire burn to an amazing
playlist. I can feel everyone's energy. You can feel it. You can sense it when I'm walking around the room, and especially on Saturday mornings, or I do quite a lot of triples now back to back, and the energy each class gives me, I'm like, whoa, they're going for it. It's fabulous. It's good fun. It's burny, it's sneaky, but it's also really, really good for all ages. Some people that have come to me with injuries, with knee and ankle problems,
it's so much about those, a little bit like the footwork on the reformer, because you're quite often on the ball or your heels, and you're not necessarily flat-footed the whole time. There is those releves and things that you become really aware of your alignment, your precision, and the little muscles that you think you don't have. And I think that's almost like a lot of people's feedback when they first come into those classes. They're like, I felt muscles like I've never felt before. And
1,000%.
Yeah, and that's when they're like, oh, they're really aching the next day and things. Yeah. Not too dissimilar from the tower in reformer, where you are holding the push bar, you're able to lunge back and pulse and maybe go a little bit lower than you would if you weren't holding the bar.
That's it. That's what I was trying to say earlier. I was like, it gives you freedom to do more stuff, but it then makes it 10 times harder because you're actually in the proper position at that point. You're in the right alignments. You're in the places where you need to be, whereas it is quite easy to, not cheat, but if you're just doing stuff without holding on stuff, you can kind of float and move through stuff. Whereas at the bar, I'm like, no, we're here. Hold, get low, stay down. Because I'm like, you're not going to fall. You're fine. You're not losing balance because you've got the bar. It forces you to get deeper.
And I think it's really accessible for those who maybe have got knee issues, like you said before, for rehabilitation, but also for pre and postnatal, because the options of not having to lie down but still find legs, bum, abs and arms and everything in between without having to lie someone on their back, that's incredible. And it's so inclusive with that. You can literally get someone to walk in and you haven't, in your head you're like, well, I haven't got to change it that much because we're going to not be on our back too long. And there's options.
I only come to the mat a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end. And like you said, it's very easy to then modify these little sections. I've got a wonderful client just now. Shout out to Emma. She was here this morning. She's due in August and she has been coming consistently. And I even said to her today, I was like, you're looking fab. You're looking great. There's still so much that she can do. And it's actually really beneficial for her. It's keeping her... It's keeping her strong but mobile at the same time, which is what she needs. So, it's great. It's really good.
So good. So before we get into maybe body bar, you had been a freelancer for a few years. And then just before the pandemic hit, you moved into a new role for Fly London.
I did, yes. I accepted a managerial role. At the time, it was end of 2019. It was September 2019, and it was to be in charge of bar and low impact classes because I also did do my level 2 and my level 3, and I went into also that fitness world. So when I was freelance teaching, I also taught a bunch of other styles, which was really, I think, healthy for me and helped my bar programming, actually, because I realised there's other things that we should be doing and adding in and making sure that we're still working on.
Because it doesn't necessarily hit every single thing. Like you say, adding other avenues and then harnessing it to improve, not improve it, but to make the experience even better.
So I learned a little bit more of your strength and conditioning classes, did a lot of stuff on the TRX, a lot of workshops on that. Then also boxing. I fell in love with boxing. I taught a bunch of boxing classes, which I did, rhythm boxing is when you still do it to the beat and all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
So it really elevated my repertoire because it was all then in there. It was everything.
Expands the repertoire massively.
Um, and made me appreciate so many styles as well. So then when I took that job at Fly London, it was Bar and Low Impact in their studio too. But obviously the role changed massively once 2020 hit.
Yeah.
So I was so relieved and thankful that I was no longer a freelancer and actually was a manager position at that time. But if anyone that's listening does remember me from my Instagram live days in the flat with Rosa as a puppy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I used to I get entice people to come do class and like I would hold Rosa at the camera, like
look at the puppy, time to bond. Yeah.
But then Rosa was also really naughty, so sometimes I'd be like, get out. So yeah, our job role changed so quickly. Mm. So there was only three of us that were managers and we were running the Instagram live timetable.
And you had so many tuning in. So many people.
It went mental. Yeah. It went like viral almost. Yeah. It went very, very good.
Thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Like you couldn't believe it. It was because that was the first we've ever experienced anything like that. We'd never done anything like that before.
No.
We didn't venture into online world at all.
Not at all. And also especially because you're so used to it being your usuals, your locals, and it's people that you're really familiar with, and then out of nowhere you were basically training people halfway across the world.
Yes.
And it was just something, the whole industry expanded like overnight.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
And that then led into helping Fly London online, mm-hmm. and they created a whole online platform.
Yes.
So when we did return after lockdown, we actually spent a lot of time filming,
mm-hmm.
and we filmed. We also then still continued the live. So I was no longer just an in-person teacher managing a team of people. It mm-hmm. turned into, there was just so many other aspects of the job role that was going on that I just didn't know that was obviously going to happen when it happened.
Yeah.
And it was good. I learned so much from it.
Mm.
But I did get burnout of being online.
Yeah.
And I lost a bit of love for it because online, I'm not getting the energy from a class.
No.
I'm doing back-to-backs online. We used to film 4 to 5 classes back-to-back sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just me going, come on, everybody. Yeah. And there's just like camera guys in the background.
I'm just talking to myself.
There's only so much you can talk to yourself for. And then you go, oh, I don't like this anymore.
100%. I think you can only just do that. I mean, it was almost like the lives and the Zooms, it's all in time, it's real time. And it's, even if you maybe weren't seeing people on the other side of the screen, you still felt like someone was there. They were commenting after class, thank you so much, Katie. That felt incredible.
Yeah.
And that was almost like the end of the class that you just needed to just feel like you'd made a difference, and that it was worthwhile. And then when you obviously get to the really like bigger production where it's just you and a camera, they're like, okay, cut, that's it, done. And you're like, okay, well now I feel deflated instead of elevated. Like you don't have that same energy when you walk out of the class because it's not a bounce back feed of energy. It's just you giving it your all and then being exhausted by the end. So the burnout is real.
I think that did affect me a little bit, I think.
Challenging.
It was challenging, yeah. I also, Fly London was also part of Flow London as well, so we taught across at that studio, which was great, and beautiful spaces, still great people. But I did get to the point where I had burnt out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd lost what we were seeing before, that feeling of, I love this so much.
I can do this every day.
I can do this every day. Yeah. I got to the point where I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this every day. Yeah. This is quite intense. Mm-hmm. And
it's just hard to weigh up as well sometimes, I think, when you have the demand still there. Sometimes when the demand starts to go and then it's like, okay, cool, it's not working for anyone anymore.
Yeah.
And actually the demand was still really strong for quite a long time after that.
So strong,
And so then it's up to you to okay. And your wellness tip at the beginning, listen to yourself, listen to your body, listen to your mind.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't feel right, and even if it's something you've done for a very long time, something that's felt right for a very long time, and even if it's a huge success, and I think that's almost half of the battle when it comes to the success of what you're doing versus how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
because I think that's a huge part. And
oh yeah, because on the outside I looked super successful. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, left the freelance where I was now a manager. I was, things were going great on socials. Mm-hmm. And yes, on the face of it, you'd think
she's killing it. Yeah, yeah. But actually underneath it's
underneath
so
I was really struggling. Yeah,
because it just wasn't that same get up and go and
adoration
of what you were doing every day. And that's a real responsibility to check in with yourself and go, it's not working for me anymore.
Yeah,
what do I do and what's the next step?
Yes.
So the next step?
The next step. Well, I decided to leave Fly. I took, I don't know if you can call it a sabbatical because I was freelancing, nobody was paying me, but I just took some time off. I took some time off, and during that time, Craig had got an offer. Craig is my fiancé, by the way. any chance to get the ring out? he got an offer to move with his work to Glasgow, which is where he's from, but mm-hmm. Glasgow is a new city to me. I had never experienced Glasgow. Being from where I am from in Scotland, Livingston, Edinburgh is closer. Mm-hmm. So I always grew up knowing Edinburgh. I literally did not know Glasgow at all. So it worked out at the time. When I look back now, it obviously worked out because I actually had already organically made that decision to leave Fly.
Yeah.
But I was also in this weird, I was like, I don't know what's happening, because I wasn't sure if, was I now tired of the fitness industry? Did I want to change again?
Yes.
I knew I didn't. I knew deep down I didn't, but I was worried.
It makes
worried.
You question like the sustainability of being an instructor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can my body keep mm-hmm. going? And mm-hmm. and I was going through certain things with my body at the time as well, and I was like, do I need to stop? Do I need to get a desk mm-hmm. job?
I know. It does make you think sometimes. Because when you do have your one admin day where you sit at the desk and you've got your coffee and there's some, you
actually know, wear normal clothes.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, you do a couple of hours admin and then you're like, I could do this.
No, but no. You know, by the end of the week, I'd be like, I want to roll around on the floor.
Literally. Why can I take off the socks and roll on the floor?
It's just in our blood. We have to be on the floor and roll out. We then made the quick decision. We had to move within a couple months up to Glasgow, and we arrived, and I was a little lost. I was very lost. Not just a little lost, I was very lost.
Was it specifically, not specifically, but how, when you got here and it was that lost feeling, it was because of the fact that you,
I was still in that mindset from London anyway. Yes.
But bar wasn't a thing here.
Bar was not a thing here.
So the one thing that had caught your attention with the fitness industry and that you loved and you knew you mm-hmm. could actually do mm-hmm. it as a job.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even, you couldn't come here and be like, okay, cool, where mm-hmm. am I going to teach? Where's the bar studios? There was none. Mm-hmm.
There was none.
None.
There also wasn't very much in terms of the boutique fitness industry as well.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
And that is an environment that you get so familiar with that you can't, I couldn't have gone back going from a boutique style studio mm-hmm. into something like a gym setting. It's an entirely different experience
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for both the client and the instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a daunting prospect when you're moving to a new city as well.
Yes, definitely. So mixed bag of emotions, very lost, very confused. Spent a lot of time with me and Rosa just chatting between ourselves.
She was a great companion to move with.
But one of the wonderful little stepping stones was through Sweaty Betty. I went in one day and I bumped into Kaylee, who, if anyone knows, Kaylee is now one of the wonderful instructors here at Body. That's going to make me cry. Kaylee and I have already had a little cry about this because we spoke about it again the other day. But Kaylee was in the Sweaty Betty store. I came in. I had vouchers for my leaving present from some of my PT clients had got me some Sweaty Betty vouchers. So I went in and I'm pretty sure I got emotional with Kaylee even then. I think I was just a bit of an emotional being that year. I was. And I just said to her, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what am I doing. And she was like, I know you. And I was like, how do you know me? She was like, well, you employed one of my friends. You employed one of my friends that she shared a room with it at uni. Yeah.
That's
wild. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was at Fly?
This is at Fly, yeah.
Sophie amazing.
It's all
connected. It's somewhere, all connected. Somewhere along the lines.
The world, the universe, yeah. It is just
the chances of you
insane.
Walking into Sweaty Betty, her being there to chat
like,
with you.
I know who you are. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And she, straight away, she was like, right. She was writing down all these places, people to contact. She could see that I was just like a little lost soul, and she was like, no, come on, I'm gonna help you out. And the one thing I did learn about Glasgow quite quickly was stuff is still there. It just doesn't shout at you the way London does.
Yeah,
London,
it's so
true. It's there, it's in your face. It's and because there's so much of it, maybe it's just more obvious. But.
And also, I guess you were in a position where when you first started it, bar in London anyway, the industry was relatively new. So anytime something new came into the industry along those lines, you were the first to know about it because you're already in it. And so then you're very much like, okay, well, I've always been here and I've always known it. And so the circuits are still the same.
Mm-hmm.
You just slowly grow, grow, and grow. And you suddenly take that whole opportunity and you go to another city.
Mm.
It is like starting afresh.
Oh, completely starting afresh. So yeah, Kaylee was like a wee guardian angel that day, and she got me to get in touch with Charlene, who works at Future Fitness, and me and Charlene went for a little coffee, and she got me in teaching classes straight away. I think within like a week I was teaching classes, and I realized, I was like, oh, I do still love teaching. I do still love it. I think that's what I needed. I needed to remember that I still loved it, and that I still have a passion for it, and it is still what I wanted to do. And it started, everything became clearer again, which was nice. So yeah, that was a lovely moment in my Glasgow journey. And then from there, it kind of flourished.
I got
a lot of confidence again, which I didn't have for a while. Yeah.
And that's, I think if you come into a new space and you were bringing something new to the game as well, maybe most of the people that you were training had never experienced bar, and it was such a hype online and on social media that they were like, where can we go, where can we find it? And you were the only one really doing it here.
And I actually reconnected with a few people that used to do with my Instagram lives in lockdown. So people that just found Fly in lockdown that live here in Glasgow. Or some people that had actually now moved to Glasgow, which is crazy to me. They were like, they came to some of my classes when I started renting in at different places and doing pop-ups and stuff like that. And people would come in and say, oh, I actually have been doing your classes for years now, just not in person.
What a nice feeling.
Just really nice.
Just meet these people face-to-face.
And again, just gave that another wee element of confidence that I needed each step of the way from feeling like, to then
getting back to
it.
And I remember the conversations when you were feeling a little bit nervous, when you were still in London and and I remember you saying, you were like, nobody knows what bar is up there. She's like, my career's here. My career's in London. I've built my whole career around the studios that are here and the people that are here. And it's working. And then I think for you at the time, it was really hard for you to see the opportunity that Glasgow would give you as a career. Obviously with your family and stuff. But more for the career standpoint, I think you just felt a little bit, like you said, lost. And you're like, how am I going to move an entire career up to a new city and still thrive and make it? And I was like, because it's not there. You are the one bringing it, the one you are able to bring it to a new city. And that's a huge opportunity to see. And also, like, the vision of the gap in the market for that area. It was a huge gap in the market, which obviously now you've filled.
Yes.
Filled is an understatement.
Yes. Yes.
You are killing it is, an understatement.
We are doing great here.
You're doing phenomenal.
And just thanks to everyone that's walked into the room and or even just had the courage to come to class and try it. Because think about everyone that's walked through this door. It's a lot scarier for them to come and try this class than to everyone that walked through the doors in London, because it's so accessible and it was kind of here, there, and everywhere.
Choose which one you want to go to. Yeah.
Choose which one. Yeah. There's 5 million, wherever. They were really, you know, they really had to trust in me that they would come in and pay that little bit more of a premium price as well, and trust that that's worth it.
Yeah.
And they all have, and everyone has loved it. Every single person's loved it. Like, which blows my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I kind of always knew that they would. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. And I always knew. And because you love it, people love it.
Yes.
If you were just here because you were like, okay, cool, it's just something I can do on the side. And it's like, no, it's my passion. It's my love. And it's your life. And I think that's what it resonates so strongly when you walk in here. Because it wasn't like you just found a space, rolled out some mats, and were like, cool, that'll be me. Set up, I'll just teach and I'll rent and then that'll be it. You're like, that's not good enough. Mm-mm. It needs to be so much more. It needs to be its own brand and its own identity and its own space. And it does need to feel like a, I mean, this is what I always felt when I first came in, when I first saw what you had done here. First of all, floored by the idea. I was like, what?
I surprised myself.
Yeah, I mean, so you've been open nearly a year.
It'll be a year in September.
Year in September.
Yeah.
So we're at about the 8-9 month stage.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you first decided, so before we kind of get into that tangent.
Yes.
This situation of, okay, what do I want to make this now? Because you were getting the demand. Your haberdashery sellouts.
I have to say, the haberdashery events, big shout out to the haberdashery, love you guys, really made me realize, oh, no, people really do want this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like I had, because some of the studios I was renting that I could maybe only fit like 7 people in or something like that, to have 40 people sign up.
And you weren't relying on it being the studio's clients.
Yes.
It was you.
Or because it was close to their house or easy.
Yeah.
You know,
they, really
they
kind
had
of knew
to
about
travel
it.
Into town, which I know is not far. But anyway, but it still
but
is.
Still.
Some people just want stuff that's easy and it's there. Mm-hmm. Totally get that. But for people to go, no, I'm going to pay this extra money. We're going to go into town and there's 40 of us there. And running those events at the haberdashery was like, whoa, it really gave me this feeling of, oh, you've got something good here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got something that could really be amazing. And I got my passion back.
Yeah.
I got my love back. I got the feels back. It all came flooding back.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah.
You looked like you were just enjoying it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people could see it even just from my face and just, it was the year before was one of the hardest years of my life. It was so difficult. And it was just so nice to have that feeling again. And that's where it came from, that feeling and trusting your gut. Like I just had this feeling in my gut and I just kept saying, no, we're doing this now. It's going to happen.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening. And then so how did you find the space first and foremost?
Well, we're based inside a wonderful gym called Club 300. I'm very lucky to live very close by. I came in one day to ask if I could bring some PT clients just as pop-ups, ad hoc. Can I bring them in and just pay like a 1 hour fee to come in now and again? Because that's the other thing with when you're working with one-to-ones is finding the space that suits you. And like you said, we're not really gym floor kind of people.
Yes.
But I did also want to work in a gym floor, but not like in a big, big gym space. It's not really my vibe. Whereas I feel like Club 300 is a great size for me. It's very close to where I live as well. So as I was getting more busier with my one-to-ones, I wanted to try and bring everyone into one place rather than me going to them, which was...
And I think that was a huge part of what I found when you do find your schedule and your routine that works for you, whether it's nights, mornings, weekends, how many days you want to work, is that you have to really equate for not the amount of time, but the amount of energy it requires to travel between places. That is a huge part of your job as an instructor when you first start, and it's really underestimated. You tell someone, oh, I work 4 hours a day, but actually that's to and from 4 different studios with cleaning before, setting up afterwards, all those sorts of things. That is also part of your job and your work. And so then...
But you don't get paid for that.
No. And this is where it gets to that point where as and when you start to work more and more and more, where are you going to choose? Where do you want to spend more time?
You then have to really make decisions about your timetable.
Yeah.
And make it make sense.
Massively.
Because then you get burnt out. And you really have to listen to that and notice it happening. Otherwise, stuff will happen, like what happened to me, you get the burnout and you don't want to do it anymore. Nope, not for me.
I don't know how to figure it out. So then being here was a good, the fact that you are just a walk away.
So I started actually coming into the gym for one-to-ones and bringing clients here, and I was wandering upstairs and I was like, hey, what's going on up there? They look like empty spaces to me. I hounded Scott down constantly. I was like, hey, can we have a chat? Hey, can I come see this? Hey. Until sat him down and we just agreed, yeah, let's go for it. So he let me take over the space. And I don't think he even knew himself how much I was going to turn it around.
I mean, I don't know how you walked into this space and thought this could be a studio.
Weird. It was like not like when this. I was looking at it, this is exactly what I envisioned when I first walked in.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange. You know me, I'm quite an indecisive person. Like,
yeah, you are.
I struggle with like picking what meals to eat. What, like, I struggle with like
simple decisions on a daily basis.
Sometimes, like booking, like, I don't know, like a train journey, and I'm like, I double check it 5 bajillion times.
Leave
it
until the very last moment.
Because you're too nerd, or like just really silly
the
stuff.
Commitment of it.
I struggle with. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, and even Craig said that to me. He's like, you just knew and you were like, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this. It's happening. And I
totally relate to that.
Yeah.
I think that's how I always felt. Like, different tangent, my wedding venue was not a wedding venue. It was a sheep barn, effectively, with stunning, like tractors inside. Yeah. And I showed my mum and my dad. My mum was like, I mean, if you think it'll work, it'll work. And I was like, I had no doubt. I was like, again, you walk in and you can see it in your head.
Yes.
It's going to take a hell of a lot of work and a lot of vision planning and vision boarding and things like that. But if you can see it and you think you can do it, nothing will stop you. I think that's the takeaway, is that it's, don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people think or what their concerns or their apprehension is about it. If you think you can turn that into the space to, or the vision or the brand or whatever it is, then go for it.
Yes.
Your gut, that gut feeling again.
Trust your gut. Yeah. You got to trust it. And we did a lot of it ourselves. I did a lot of it myself, but we had so much support from our family. My mum and dad, Craig's dad, helped so much. And also my stepbrother Luke, he did the floor, he got his friend to come and put the bar up, and all my visions was just like scribbles and drawings and measurements written out, and I would like WhatsApp and picture going, does this look right? And everything was just, it was not unprofessional, but like you were winging it, you were just praying that it would work out.
Yeah.
And thank God it did, because it's amazing. I'm really, I'd say I've had wonderful achievements in my life, but this is probably one of the biggest ones.
The biggest one. I'm biased anyway, because I think it's stunning. And I remember when you showed me the photos of it when it was an office space and it had wiring all around the sides. The ceiling was a lot lower,
very low.
All this sort of more industrial stuff, and it looks so nice as a result, and the light that just comes through this window as well.
I have to say, I'm very thankful to have this, because as you know, a lot of studios in cities are sometimes underground or
dark,
at the back of buildings, or you know, they're just kind of squished into something, whereas I feel like this space, having all this light and windows, is it's so uplifting. It's like a little haven in here.
It is like a little bit. It's a slice of heaven.
It is.
It's like you could sit in here for hours.
You could just lie down. And sometimes I'm like, I could fall asleep in here.
Mm-hmm.
I could have a little nap.
And especially because, you know, sometimes with the weather and the stresses of life and everything like that, to come in, whether it's the beginning of your day, the afternoon, the evening, and feel almost transported walking into this space.
Yeah.
And then you get to then do something for your mind, body, and soul. Why would you not want to come?
Yeah.
It's just...
I really feel that from people that come here as well.
Hugely.
Sometimes they don't even need to say it to me. They just leave and I just know. Mm-hmm. I know they're feeling it too. And I'm like, yeah, feel it.
I feel it. I'm feeling it. So incredible. So you are obviously a bar studio first and foremost.
Yes.
And then more recently, you took on some new employees.
Yes.
And you have Pilates, yoga, and bar. And
well, we've not got yoga, but we do have stretch.
Stretch.
That's we have stretch. But yeah, we've got a wonderful team of three, which they're just wonderful, wonderful. Mm. And I'm really thankful to have them. So we've got Kaylee, Ashley, and Catherine.
And how did you go about finding them? Did you do auditions?
I did auditions. Mm-hmm. Kaylee, obviously, I'd known from our little encounter with me being emotional when I first moved up. and we've already we always kept in touch. And then Ashley also through, Ashley used to work at Lululemon and she moved to Sweaty Betty. But Ashley is also a yoga teacher as well.
Right.
So I always just knew her from meeting mm-hmm. everyone. And then Catherine actually had come to my classes at Reset Yoga mm-hmm. last summer, and I've actually got a picture. I need to send it to you, Catherine, if you're listening. Is us on the rooftop at Reset, and it reminded me. I was like, that was when we met. Yeah, that was back then. Mm-hmm. But they came to audition, and they're just wonderful instructors. And I trust them because obviously it's a big stepping stone. Mm. You know, you've put a lot of work, time, blood, sweat and tears mm-hmm. into something and you do want to feel you've got that trust in people mm-hmm. And I trust them completely.
Because you just didn't have a break from when you, not even from when you opened, when you started building it to February, you hadn't had a single sort of mm-hmm. break for longer than a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when obviously you made the decision to expand it. And the demand was there as well. So you just knew you needed some people to step in. And you just felt like you wanted to have a team you really could rely on. You could go away for 2 or 3 days abroad and not feel that you were leaving it behind.
Well, I started to realize, like, oh, it's going good. Oh, it's going great. Oh, it's going wonderful. What if I fall ill?
Mm-hmm.
What? It would all come to a standstill. Yeah. Nothing would happen then. Mm-hmm. I realized, I was like, ooh. And it really scared me. And weirdly, I actually did fall quite ill in January with vertigo, which lasted about 2 months.
Mm.
I had already made the plans to run the audition, but I think it pushed me a little bit more to get them in and get them going.
And again, it's almost like your body telling you, listen to your body. 100%. It told you you needed help.
You need the help. You need to take a break. So yes, and in all honesty, we're probably going to need to audition again soon.
What an amazing
Would anybody position. Like to work for Body?
There you go, live, a live audition for everyone.
Yeah, because you know, like mm-hmm. the instructors we've got, they're going to be taking holiday as well, which they do. We've all done a great job. We all cover each other, but it will get to the point soon as we get busier and stuff. We're going to need some more people. Some more people on the team. So
exciting. It just continues to grow.
Yeah.
So if you could tell your younger self, maybe 10, 15 years ago, if you give her any advice, what would it be?
To go for it. Just go for it. Like, even if you mess up, things will always be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It might be hard and it might be difficult, but just go for it.
Yeah.
And don't look back. And I don't regret any decisions I've ever done, which is nice. It's the nice. I'm going to start crying.
You're getting me going. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So true.
It is. Yeah.
It's a big, I think we are so all apprehensive about what the decisions that we make, and big ones as well, little ones and big ones.
Mm-hmm.
We overthink everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to go with your gut. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not sure, even if your gut's still like, oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there you go. Just see.
And if it doesn't work out, you've got, you know.
Then you learn from it.
You learn from it.
You move on.
You move on. You make good decisions.
I try to still live by that. I do feel like in my, from turning 30 till now, I'm 33 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm 33. In a way, from even, honestly, turning 30 did bring a lot of fear, anxieties. Everything just changed a little bit in how you dealt with stuff, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I do, like, I do try to remind myself, what would my younger self say? And it would be, just go for it. And I definitely got that feeling with moving through this process. It was like, just go for it, just go for it.
The experiences that you get, even just through being in any environment, any career, any relationship, and you can look back and go, well, you survived that. Like, you can survive anything. You can make those decisions. And they do get harder. Maybe they get bigger. Houses and marriage and
there's more business in the line. And stuff. Yeah.
They are big decisions, but you'll know. Mm-hmm. You'll just know. If it's something worth trying, that's it. Just try. Mm-hmm. Just go for it. And you'll land on your feet. So proud. And then if there's anything within the fitness industry that you would like to demyth, or what's your biggest sort of pet peeve when it comes to the fitness industry that you would like people to understand?
That you have to be in matching sets and have Stanley cups and, like, do you know what I mean? Turn up in a baggy t-shirt and old shorts, doesn't matter. Move your body.
I love that.
I think people panic. They stress, like, everyone looks great. Everyone's got and I'm like, yeah, but they probably just got it for their birthday this last week. Or, like, do you know what I mean? You don't.
They wear the same set every time they come in.
They also have the same set every time.
Do that, yeah.
I do that. I go through phases. I'm like, I like these leggings. I'm wearing them to the death.
Yes.
So I think especially in the boutique industry. Oh, and another one as well, that it's only for women. It's for everyone. I think sometimes because these smaller boutique industries are women led, which is amazing. Go women, go us. Yeah. And I do think it sometimes puts off other people joining in. They panic, they maybe think, and I know from you know, from my Instagram feed and stuff, it's only me and my three instructors, we're all women. But I want anyone that's listening, everyone is welcome, come along. Everyone, please come along.
It's such a big, I mean, in every single episode I've done so far, the conversation of it's only for women is and it's only for one specific type of woman. No, old, young, sort of tall, small,
all,
like,
shapes and
every
sizes.
Every shape, sizes, every background, every...
If you've never done it before,
Gosh, if you haven't even stepped foot into something called a studio before, do it. You will feel so much better as a result. And it looks so scary from the outside, and it can look so intimidating. And from the inside, we're just like, come and try.
And feel and it. You'll feel that it's fine.
If you have one experience and you didn't enjoy it, okay.
Yes.
Maybe try somewhere else.
Yes.
Find your people and give it a go. And even, you know, even if you're a guy and you can't touch your toes, get yourself in a studio. You will love it and you'll benefit from it.
It's just fine. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just... I completely agree. It's a huge point.
Yeah.
And then if you could recommend any instructor or studio from anywhere in the world, who would it be?
Well, I obviously have a wonderful group of best friends that are all teachers, so I would recommend every single bloody one of you. But one that I guess I did work in the fitness industry with the longest was Harriet Heath. So if anyone is still in London, she is starting some in-person classes again. She also has her online business, and she's also doing Pilates and pastry events.
I'm really wanting to go and try one of these. She does pastry mornings and Pilates, Pilates and pastries.
Yes.
So perfect. Such a good idea. Because I'm that's just me to a T. Croissants and Pilates.
I trust her classes to a T. Like, I trust how we move in the room with her, and she's just got her eye on you at all times, so you know she's going to look out for you. And, so,
brilliant.
Yeah, love you, Harriet. But so it's hard because I have so many. All my friends are instructors as well, so like, so I'm almost like blessed to have so many wonderful people that we all relate and all know. And so,
and this is almost like what I love most about these conversations is that we are all connecting and all. And you were saying before that the girls here are listening to the podcast and stuff, and I was like, this is just so amazing. And it is. We're all a community, and we should all be promoting each other and stuff. So Harriet Heath, online and in studio.
In studio. In the the little pop-ups. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
And I think that's our segment wrapped up.
Ah!
I mean, I aimed to do this in under an hour, but we're still talking, so.
Has it been linked to you?
Yeah. But, you know, we have so much to talk about and cover. But thank you so much. And obviously, is there anything that's kind of in the works for Body Bar? Are you kind of growing? Are you, what's next?
Body has an exciting journey ahead. We we, yes, would love to open more spaces. Mm-hmm. I don't know when, where that will happen, yeah. But it is something I'm thinking about, and I hope and I pray it will be sometime soon.
That's so exciting.
But also just other things as well. I want to get back into some of our events. I also do want to start running a training program, so I want to become a more of an educational hotspot for people to get their bar certificate. That's also something I would like to get up and running by next year. And then also maybe some, you know, merchandise, you know.
Ooh, I like
that. Maybe I'll send you a hat if I get a hat on the go.
Yeah,
or some socks. But anyway, yeah, these are all things in the back burner. And soon they will be out in the open. So yeah.
Incredible. Well, obviously, I wish you all the luck in the world with
them. Thank you.
And we'll be back for whatever the next one is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it and found it valuable. If you love what you heard, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your preferred platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more listeners just like you. Don't forget to subscribe to Lux Core Pilates podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you want to stay updated with all things Lux Core, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Lux Core Collection. Thanks again for tuning in. Join us next week for more discussions on all things Pilates.